Welcome to the Puma Podcast. I'm Puma.
And I'm Tori.
And on the Puma Podcast, we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
All of it.
Usually, Tori is the one who does the introduction because he has a much sweeter voice than me.
That's not true.
But he's letting me participate today, so he said, why don't you do the introduction? So here we are.
Yeah, so that's sure. So the Puma Podcast, not the Tori's time.
No, it's all good, but... Anyway, glad you joined us today. I hope it's been an encouragement to you and listening and learning together about the names of God. Our theme verse for this series comes from Psalm 9:10, which says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." And so as we've been going through the different names of God, hopefully you're beginning to see, if you've been following along with us, that God isn't contained in just one name. One name doesn't describe everything that God is and all that he is about. And honestly, nothing, no names. There's nothing that we could say that could encapture everything about God. Yeah. But God gave us information about himself in the Bible, gave us names that he has called to help us to get to know him. Mm-hmm. Names involve relationship. We talked about that way back when we talked about Yahweh. And the very first name, that when someone introduces themselves to you, usually they introduce their name, that which is, you know, personal, and God introduced his name to his people, Yahweh, and invited in that relationship. And that was really in that covenant relationship with his people. And for us, as we read the Bible, as we get to know who God is, one of the ways we do that is through the different names that he is called. And each name represents another kind of facet or part of his character, his nature. It helps us understand him. And we talked about this earlier, but I can be called dad, I can be called father, I can be called uncle, I can be called pastor. These are titles or title names. I have a personal name. All this kind of informs someone that wants to get to know me parts about who I am. And so the more you get to know my name, the more you know who I am, you know the different titles that I carry. It gives kind of a clear picture of who this person is behind the microphone or who Puma is.
Right, yeah. So. You get a clear picture of the person of God. I think we all, and to some degree, like, we know God has names in the Bible and characteristics, but these names are unique in the sense it's not just a title, it's who he is fully.
Yeah, it is who he is. I am a father, and I'll always be a father. I mean, that's kind of something that's true of me. It's a part of my life. It's part of my history. It's part of how I'm known. And some know me as father. Some people don't know me as father, but because they don't have that experience of me actually being there, their
right.
father. Some know me as neighbor. Not everyone in Cedar Rapids knows me as a neighbor, but there are many that do. And so part of the how we are connected, you know, to each other also helps that. Well, God wants all of us to know him, and so he's given us information about himself throughout the scriptures about his name. So
let's dive into this next name, yeah?
All right, yeah, the next name.
Let's do it.
So the name today is a name that probably many have heard of, maybe. It's the name Adonai. Mm-hmm. And it's one that you might hear in songs, sometimes in Christian music. You'll hear that in different music. So Adonai. So what is Adonai?
What is Adonai?
What does it mean?
What does it mean? Well, I'm glad I tuned in today because I'm here to find out. Yeah, I know it's a name used of God. I know it's in songs. I also know that even in some animes, like some ancient artifacts, they'll have the inscription Adonai in these tablets and stuff. And so it's, I don't say secular name, but I've seen it in lots of other shows and, you know, ancient relics kind of stuff will have the inscribed Adonai in different languages and stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, Hebrew is a Semitic language, and for some of the Semitic languages, there were some words that kind of were similar. Adonai is actually plural. The singular is Adon, and it means like Lord, or really kind of like think of a Lord, lords and ladies, you know, in English and royalty.
So like a title, like authority?
Like a title, yeah, authority. Adonai is plural, referring to God. Not that there's lords, not that he's lords, but Adonai is a, it's a plural for Lord, not emphasizing many lords, but emphasizing like the Lord of Lords, if it makes sense. So he's like the great God, or the Almighty One, or the highest of the high. So
the ultimate,
the ultimate Lord, right? So what is the like the majestic or the greatest, if that makes sense?
Sure.
And so you see the name Adonai used in Scripture. Many of the names that we've talked about, a lot of them come out of a situation where God is interacting with with people. So we looked at Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, or Jehovah Rohi, where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," or it's. We looked at Jehovah Jireh, and that is where, in that situation, the Lord provided and was the one that did what was necessary for Abraham and Isaac and that in Genesis 22. And so some of the names are born out of situations with people. Others are more kind of titles. And this name, Adonai, a lot of times you'll find it kind of paired up with the name of God, Yahweh. So Yahweh was God's personal covenant name. And it was a personal name. Yahweh Adonai was more of like a proper name, if you want to say it. So like more of like an
official.
It wasn't necessarily born out of a situation as much as a word used in culture, like lords. There are people that are over other people. Well, God is over all people, and he's not just Adon, the Lord. He is Adonai, the highest Lord, or the Lord of Lords. And so Yahweh Adonai. So it was more; it acted more like a proper name, or giving kind of supreme worth and value to Yahweh. And so that's kind of how it was often used.
So in Scripture, when we see the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Yahweh; that's his personal name.
Right.
So when we see like the Lord God Almighty, Bible verses that have the Lord and then the Almighty God, is that kind of referencing the Adonai?
So like, for instance, Psalm 8, right? Many people are familiar with Psalm 8. Begins, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And so in your English Bibles, the first Lord would be capital L, O, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Yahweh.
Okay.
Our Lord, and that Lord is capital L, but lowercase.
Interesting.
Letters, so...
So that's where Adonai comes in.
Yahweh, our Adonai, our God who has a relationship with us, is the great God or the Almighty God. So Yahweh Adonai is the title. Mm-hmm. And I love Psalm 8:1, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." It was a psalm of praise talking about. Well, many of the Psalms, they praise God, but he is not just like any other quote-unquote God, any other deity of other nations or the Canaanites or the Hittites or the Egyptians. Our God is the ultimate God. He is the Adonai. He is the high and majestic, the lofty one, the great. He is the great God.
Interesting, yeah.
So,
So question. I know you mentioned that Adonai is plural. What's up with that? I mean, isn't Yahweh like a monotheistic, there's not multiple gods, right?
Right. We'll probably talk about Elohim probably in the next podcast.
Okay.
And we'll get into a little bit of that with the plural. And it's not, so words are used to convey truth or reality or concept. And so words reference something. And a lot of words can be used in a variety of way or have like, several meanings depending on the context to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So when you say like Lord, like one Lord, or like the Lord of Lords, so in using Adonai, it's Yahweh is singular, Adonai is plural. Doesn't mean that Yahweh lords. It's Yahweh who is the Lord of Lords, or the ultimate Lords, or the high Lords. That's the intended meaning behind that.
I see.
So it's not that
the greatest.
Right. So it's not, he's not saying that there are many lords. It is that he is the ultimate of ultimate Lord, the highest or the loftiest.
Gotcha.
And also to be the highest or the loftiest would mean that he is also the sovereign one.
What do you mean by that?
Like the Lord of Lords. Like the Lord that all lords refer. So everyone in authority, right? We have lots of authorities in our world. But who is the ultimate authority, or who is the sovereign authority? So, you know, in a city, you have, you know, civil leaders, but are they the ultimate, or do they, you know, are they under kind of the state leadership or the national leadership? In our world today, who is the ultimate leader in our world? Which world leader is the high leader, or the the sovereign leader over all the other leaders?
The one to rule them all.
Right, the one to rule them all, right. So in a pluralistic culture that Israel was in, and with a polytheistic, you know, where there are many things and many options and many gods, to say that there is one sovereign over all of those was sort of an unusual concept, because often you have a bunch of different gods, and the gods were always fighting with each other. So you think about Greek mythology. There was, you know, Zeus is kind of the head, but he has his flaws, and you can kind of stick it to him if you get enough people to come around, you know, and help you out. Or
you can give him a bad day.
Yeah, you can give him a bad day or whatever. Well, the God of Israel, Yahweh, he is the God, the only God, the only true God, the only real God. And just to really overemphasize that in the culture, that he was Yahweh Adonai. He is the most high God, or he is the sovereign. So any person or any culture that would say, well, my God is bigger than your God, well, no.
You're wrong.
No. Our God is the Lord of Lords, Yahweh Adonai. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic, how lofty, how amazing is your name in all the earth. There is no name that is higher, no name that is more noble, no name that is more special. There is no name that can be compared to yours. And it's not the name specific, but the name of the one that the name represents, God.
So that was kind of an insulting title to the other nations, because Yahweh is the Lord of all gods, the Canaanites, the Amorites. Right. I mean, I guess any god against, you know, Yahweh is probably defended by Yahweh. But that title is, hey, my God is the ruler of your God. Like,
right.
It's kind of a...
Yeah. Na, 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 na. Yeah. Our God can beat up your God.
Right. Yeah, you might have a God, you know, you might have, you know, Asherah or, you know, Dagon or whatever. But our God, in his actual name, he is the Lord of Lords. Yeah. So he is the God of gods. That's interesting.
Yeah. Our God is God par excellence, right? Yeah. No one is better than our God. And it wasn't just bragging, it was reality. Mm-hmm. And so as God has revealed himself to us, he wants us to really understand. He is a God who desires to know us. He's a God that wants us to know him. He is personal. He is caring. Mm-hmm. He takes care of us. He shepherds us. He heals us. He provides for us. It's because he is Yahweh Adonai. He is the most high God. He is the high and lofty one. He is the sovereign one. He is the one that directs all things. He is the one that rules them all. Mm. He is the Most High God.
So what are the implications of this name? I mean, he is, and he is, you know, Yahweh Adonai, you know, the Lord of all lords, the great, almighty Lord. And what does that mean for us as those who put their faith in him? What does this name in particular call us out to in response to this name?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because you know, Israel didn't have a problem with that. They don't have a problem with that. I mean, they were tempted by the gods of the nations around them. I mean, they're always were tempted, but all the other quote unquote gods who are not real gods at all, they're just, you know, idols and ideas. They all fall flat. They never followed through. They never gave what they were promised, but Yahweh proved faithful over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And he was always seen as sovereign over all the other nations. He was always the one that took care of things. He was always the one that conquered the enemies. He was always the one that gave deliverance and was sovereign in that.
There was street cred to what he said.
Yeah. He backed it up. It's not like it's not like any quote-unquote other guy could touch him. And so for anyone that really wants to get to know him, they would see him as Yahweh Adonai. For us today, especially in American culture, it is really unpopular to have anyone high and lofty over another. We've become a very I'm going to say egalitarian culture where everything is, mm-hmm. is, you know, teachers shouldn't be higher than students, employers mm-hmm. shouldn't be higher than employees, parents shouldn't be higher than children, etc. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I think we bristle with this idea of one who is high and lofty or sovereign. Now, there's a lot of safety in that if the one who is ultimate is good, if the one who is ultimate is loving. If the one who is ultimate is evil, the one who is ultimate is self-serving, then we are in deep, deep, deep trouble. And because so many authorities in our world today continue to let us down, continue to be self-serving, continue to be users and abusers of those that they lead, those that they, in a sense, are lord over, there's a hesitancy to view God as one who is high and lofty. So we often, what we want to do is make God more like us instead of us letting God be more as he is. We want to bring God low and make us, in a sense, high. Whenever you bring God down, you're basically elevating man.
It's true. Yeah.
So the gap between man and God, at least what people kind of want today, gets smaller. When the Bible says, no, the gap, when we get to understand God, the gap between God and us is not smaller, it's greater. Mm-hmm. He's not just the sovereign, he's the sovereign of sovereigns. He is Adonai.
Yeah. So that calls us to submit. You know, I mean, really, if God is, and he is, again, he is, you know, Yahweh Adonai, then if he is the ultimate authority, that means something of me. And I think you're right. We don't like, you know, authority figures. We want to be peers with everybody. Whether you have a high school diploma or a PhD, my opinion is just as good as yours. And yet with God, we see that's not the case. He is the ultimate authority who is all sovereign. And that's offensive because that means we are under, you know, if we believe this to be true, then we are under, you know, Adonai. He is our, we call it ruler. I mean, the word Lord, you kind of think of dominion. You kind of think of a, you know, kingdom. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of offensive. I think you're right. I think, and even too, just the younger people I talk to, they just bristle and get, just are anti any type of authority figure. And if you put your conditions on me or tell me what to do, then I'll write you off and just totally disregard whatever you have to say, which is too bad.
But see, if we understand that God is sovereign, and you put that with all the other characteristics of God, all the other names of God, and you put that all together, then he's one, again, to run to and not one to run from. Right. He's one to live under, not one to escape from underneath his sovereignty. Mm-hmm. And so it really can be a comfort to us to know that the one that does control all things, the one that is sovereign over things, the one who is the ultimate ruler, is going to do right to us, do right to us. If you flip to the New Testament, so Jesus comes onto the scene, and one of the titles, especially in the epistles, he is called Lord, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in the Greek, the word Kyrios is the word, just kind of the word Lord. But Jesus is, in that, you know, the New Testament, it was, you know, someone having, like, power or authority. It was, you know, just somebody that has power and authority. But Jesus was called, you know, Jesus Christ our Lord, for instance, in Romans chapter 1, as Paul begins his letter, he says, you know, we're talking about Jesus, the Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Who is he? Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, to know Jesus is not to know him just as a friend, but also to know him as our Lord. You see, following Jesus, we are following Yahweh Adonai. You flip even further into the New Testament to the last book, to Revelation. Revelation 19, it's really kind of an incredible scene. You have the rider on the white horse, which is Jesus, coming down out of heaven at the end of, depending on your eschatology, you know, the end of the tribulation, or the end to make war on the nations that are rebelling. You get to verse 16 there of Revelation 19, and it says that the rider on the white horse had this name written on him, and it was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That Jesus is the the ultimate authority or the sovereign one who has authority to execute justice, authority to take care of what is necessary. He is the mighty one. You see that picture of Jesus in the New Testament. I think sometimes our culture likes to make Jesus the lovey-dovey Jesus. Mm-hmm. The Jesus of Revelation 19 is loving with truth and executing justice on those that continue to rebel without repentance against him. Mm-hmm. And he's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That name is actually written on his I think his chest and his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. And so Yahweh Adonai, to think of God as not just someone who is there for me, but to have this posture of reverent respect that he is the Most High God, that he is the sovereign, he is the almighty, he is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords, and to posture ourselves, because there's something about being in right relationship or right posture that brings safety and comfort to us.
It's humbling, but also comforting, like you said, because I'm not in control of my life, but the one who is perfect, and the one who is good. And I think that's also true, because I think a lot of us have ideas of people who are in charge of us, and we have a lot of negative leaders and bad, you know, bosses, and sometimes it's unfair for us to place our identity of who God might be as Lord because of our earthly examples. But no, like you said, it connects to all of his names, and he's a good, just, loving God.
Yeah, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And as Psalm 8:1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. What an awesome way to just kind of sit and worship and think about the name of God and that he is high and lifted up.
Right, there's a beauty to that.
And he's a God that wants a relationship with me. That is amazing.
That's awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you, Puma. Thank you guys for listening. Yeah, really excited about these names. Love, learning about the God who loves us and who is Lord of all. Are you having a bad day? Never fear, the one who loves you is still sovereign. So yeah, Yahweh Adonai, that's awesome. We actually have a line of questions from people, which is awesome. So yeah, once we finish the series, we'll dive into a whole bunch more. So
yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Yep. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.